Well, hello, everybody. This is Stunker in the Audio number 480. I am Jeremy. Kevin is taking the night off, so joining me is Chris Calamita. What's going on, man?
Not a heck of a lot here, Jeremy. How about yourself?
Well, as I was saying before we started, I'm going to be trying to get caught up to speed here because somebody stayed up late watching bad movies again. And just in case anyone's wondering, Death Wish 4 is still as bad as you remember it, so... although there's a great simplicity to these movies in that they're garbage and you just watch it because they are. I mean, there's a scene where Charles Bronson goes into he's in California in this one, and he just goes into this editing bay at a movie studio and they have boxes of cocaine in there that they're selling to the kids. And Charles Bronson, like, they've got, like, movie posters, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which I'm wondering if it's, like, the same studio, all this sort of stuff. And he just gives the guy a lecture about, you know, how many kids have died due to this stuff. And then he just proceeds to mow everybody down with an Uzi, and then just walks out. Yep. So, I'm just watching this going... Wow, this really is as bad as I remember. But it's still not as bad as the next one, where he's living in like a post-apocalyptic ghetto of sorts, and he just starts shooting like a bazooka at people.
So they made a fifth one?
I believe it was Death Wish 5. I've seen it. But then the other part is why? And I always say there's a reason I wasn't a good student. So, let's see. Death Wish.
No. Death Wish 5 and, oh my, wow. In 1994, they were making new Death Wish movies starring Charles Bronson, who was probably, what, 80 at that point?
Yeah, he was not young. And is this the one where, or is it 4? Oh yeah, well, it's funny because in 4 it was his girlfriend. It was his girlfriend's daughter that died, because it's his daughter that he was starting to overcome being raped, gets raped again in number 2, and then throws herself out of a window onto a fence. Yep.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen more than the first one. I probably haven't seen the first one in a very, very long time. Was a movie I probably shouldn't have watched when I was young either.
Well, see, here's the thing with Death Wish, the first one. It was actually a commentary on, like, society breaking down. How, like, the system was so... You couldn't trust the system. The system didn't work. The police weren't doing their job. This and this. It had, like, different layers to it. And it wasn't treated like... until the end... Like, he gets caught by the police, but the police know if they arrest him and take him to jail that the people are going to revolt against him. So they have to let him go. But they kick him out to Chicago. And, I mean, he's not good at his job. Well, his job, you know what I mean? But he's not good at it. And he, you know, just by getting caught and all this stuff. And he's reckless. It was as much as you can be. It was a more realistic approach. And it was dirty. And it was violent. I mean, not shockingly violent, but it was violent. And the rest of them were just cartoony bad. So, and yeah. So, anyways, what a horrible segue. This is going to be to wrestling. Anyways, sorry about that. This wasn't planned.
it never is.
Yeah, so last night, did you watch live, by the way, on Raw?
I did watch live. Did you?
Yes, and I usually work in all my overtime for work on Monday because it's a way to keep me up through Raw. And I'm watching this, and they start the show with Roman Reigns, and I'm like, oh, all right, that's kind of weird. And the only reason I say it was weird is he came out by himself, and it was his music. And I guess there are subtle differences between the Shield's music and his. And then he just came out in street clothes, and I'm like... And, you know, I immediately just go, ugh, what are they doing? They're trying to make him relatable. And then he starts talking, and he goes, you know, all this is a lie. And I'm going, ugh, what is this? And he goes, my name's Joe. I'm like, why are they doing this? And for the last 11 years, I've had leukemia. And my entire brain just shut down. Like, what did he just say?
Yeah, that was about my same reaction, except I had seen the rumors from throughout the day that something was wrong. I'd heard them say that he'd missed the entire weekend of house shows, and that there was an injury, is what was being said earlier. So I did have it in my head when he was in street clothes. This doesn't feel right. Something's maybe these rumors are true, but when those words came out of his mouth, I was floored.
Yeah.
Because this has never happened before. Yo.
No, I mean, really, weren't most of, like, any sort of, like, what would this be? A disease, I guess. I wanted to say injury, but that's not really it. But it's like, any of this sort of thing usually happens after they're done wrestling. Or most of the time when they're out of WWE, if you want to be really callous about it. So yeah, to see especially a top guy like this, to have him go down, that's just I was trying to think of that last night. But when that all went down, I immediately hit up Shahid and I go, "Are you watching Raw?" And he goes, "Yeah," I can't remember his exact words, but it was mostly like, "Yeah, this sucks." So I hit up Kevin quickly. And I'm like, "Are you watching Raw live right now?" And he goes, "No, I'm walking the dog." I'm like, "You have to watch it when you get home. It's huge. The beginning is just huge." So I think he was expecting, like an angle or something, and to kind of, was it not sabotage? What am I looking for? Whatever, surprised him with that, I guess. So. What were you thinking when they said it?
I mean, I was stunned. You know, I was shaken because it's like you don't expect that. It's you know, once again, I said it's never happened before. No top guy has ever, you know, abdicated their position because they have cancer while they're in their middle of the peak of their career. This is never. I don't think I've ever heard seen a crowd go so deflated, so quiet, and then, you know, as he's talking, you know, the switch gets flipped, with positivity directed at him, and thank you, Roman chants. Without the most real moment that has ever happened during a wrestling show. Like, real life invaded our little entertainment show.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. So it's been a while too. I mean, this isn't a death. Like, this isn't something that we know when someone passed away in the past that you knew, all right, we're going to have the whole stage out there crying. Or, you know, it's going to be mourning the entire time. This was just, I don't know, I didn't see anything about him being hurt or he was off the house shows or anything like that. So I didn't know any of this was going on. And this was literally the last thing I would expect. And yep. I'll tell you what, and I do wonder about where were they last night anyways? I know tonight they were in Newark.
Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay. I do wonder how the crowd would have acted in one of the big cities. If they would, like Chicago or New York or LA, you know, if they would have been dicks and started cheering when he said he had it.
Well, I mean, there was one guy who yelled out, "You still suck." But other than that, no. I don't want to think that crowds are that, to use a word that gets thrown around a lot, deplorable. I don't want to think that it would be anywhere near. I mean, these HD microphones pick up a lot of noise, especially when everyone else is stunned silent and one drunken asshole has to scream, "You still suck." But But I don't want to think that, you know, it would be a large percentage of the crowd would react joylessly to anyone announcing that they have fucking cancer.
Yeah, and well, but that's what I was getting at with. I expected the crowd, like, when they said that, I was wondering how the crowd was going to react, because, I mean, just being at home, I was just stunned, like, wait, huh? And the crowd, at first, you know, they were booing him. Not as, you know, as vehement as usual, but they were still booing him. And then as soon as he said it, there was like, what? And to their credit, just shut up. And then it was, wait, are they serious? Like, the hush that came over them was really weird. And I guess I just didn't expect that. Like, you know, come on. How many times do we make fun of professional wrestling crowds? I mean, NXT, take a shower. You know, all this sort of stuff. So I always have the lowest expectations for them. And the silence and then the build back up to, you know, thank you, Roman, without having it turned into, like, someone else starting a Roman sucks chant, you know?
Yeah.
It just makes you think, like, well, maybe not all wrestling audiences are total hunks of shit. I mean, most. I mean, I'm not gonna be stupid about this, but... but... So, I did not look any of this stuff up, because I really don't want to know, but I was talking to my wife about it last night, and she goes, so this is real? I'm like, yes, it's very real, because how dirty would that be? And then secondly, yeah, you just don't do that. And especially with a company that's, you know, has the Susan G. Komen stuff going on, you cannot fake something like this, you know?
No.
So, I was like, yeah, this is real, and no one saw it coming.
Yeah, he's never talked about this before.
And that's the other thing. They've never used this as a crutch. Like, in
yeah.
And what I mean by crutch is when he, you know, he didn't get over the way they wanted him to. You know, they want him to be the big baby face. They wanted this. And I know they make all the excuses. Well, you know, some noise is better than no noise. Okay, whatever. But what you wanted was cheers, and you didn't get that. So, yeah, that wasn't your game plan, you know? But to their credit, yeah, they never used this to try and gain sympathy for him, which is kind of surprising.
Well, and I guess the amazing part is, well, now, when he ever comes back, he ain't getting booed again. He will be like he will be that guy they want him to be, unless they have him just deliver some of the worst material that's ever been written. Like,
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, see, Meltzer said the same thing. Like, he's not getting booed anymore, and I thought the same thing, too. And then I went, they're going to write some dumb shit for him. He's going to get booed again.
Yeah, the comparison to Buff Bagwell in 1998, yeah.
Oh, damn, that's rude, dude.
well, no, I mean...
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Place for this huge babyface run. Turning him heel immediately after, although I guess we'll talk about what all this real emotion built to by the end of the night.
Oh, yeah.
in a little while. But yeah, no, I mean, as I said, they've got their ready-made, you know, beloved babyface, you know, hopefully coming back, and however soon he can come back. I mean, they have to prepare to be without him through WrestleMania, you know, without a doubt. I mean, we don't know the details of what type of leukemia he has, the what the prognosis is and the treatment is, but I imagine it's going to be pretty arduous. He's going to, you know, it's going to be brutal on him, you know, lose his hair, lose a lot of weight, and it will be a long time before he gets the go-ahead to get back in the ring, and he's comfortable to get back in the ring. He feels like his old self again. He looks like his old self again.
I was thinking, and I know maybe I don't know the recovery of this stuff. Like, my mother had breast cancer, and, you know, it unfortunately she had to have, like, a double mastectomy and all that, so it got rid of the cancer, if you want to put it that way. But she still had to take, like, she still, after it was done, had to get chemo, had to do this, had to do a whole bunch of stuff, and she still didn't feel right, like, up until, like, 2 years. And I know leukemia is not the same as breast cancer. I don't know what the treatment is and all that sort of stuff, but that was my thought, was like, yeah, he's going to lose his hair, he's going to lose muscles, he won't look, I mean, he's gonna, not going to look the same, so we're thinking 2 years?
It might
gonna
be.
It's going to be a long time, and I don't know if people are prepared for that. Like, I don't know what people are prepared for, to be honest, but I don't think it's anytime soon. Obviously not anytime soon, but I'm talking like a year's worth at bare minimum a year.
I'm guessing. It might very well be. Until we get more information and if any more information is released, which, you know, it doesn't have to be. It's the man's personal life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he wants to put himself out there as the face of, you know, leukemia research and. You know, which it sounds like he kind of does want that, but I don't know if he wants, you know, cameras in the damn room while he's having his chemo treatments or anything, or that anyone should watch that, or, you know.
Well, they did say he was interested, or he was going to start using his notoriety to, you know, gain attention to it. Or, yeah, notoriety, fame, whatever you want to say. So... Yeah, I don't know. It's everyone's battle with that stuff is different. And I guess because he has a certain amount of celebrity that he thinks he can make a difference. You know? I mean, there's how many children are going to go through this stuff, and, you know, all the Make-A-Wish stuff, the WWE does and all that. Who knows? It goes through his fight and maybe he can show other people, hey, I'm overcoming it, you can too. Just something like that. I'm trying to look for positives, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. It's just so wild. Because, like you said, this has never happened before. And with no inclination something like this was going to happen. Yeah. And... it was funny because, boy, Raw sure was different last night. And poor Titus, when he brought out the breast cancer survivors, or winners, whatever we're calling them now, that crowd politely didn't care. And what I mean by that is, well, you just bummed us out. And yeah, it's a pretty cool story that these women have beaten the cancer that they were going through, but... guys, we can't take any more cancer talk. It just seemed like there was a definite fatigue.
Yeah, but at least the show had a happy ending.
Oh, no, we're getting there. Oh, no, trust me, we're getting there.
We're, cause all right, I'll let you guys.
Yeah, because, well, then all of a sudden, we had Elias come out. And he's a babyface now. Or at least the crowd was treating him like a babyface. He wins, beats a poor Apollo, who needs to go back to NXT for a while. Then he comes back out later, pulls a honky-tonk man, and the crowd cheers for him. And I'm like, why did this happen? And then Drew McIntyre beating up Braun Strowman, I'm going, well, which one is the babyface here? Because they're both kind of dicks. So, okay. And then they announced Braun's fighting Roman, or excuse me, not fighting Roman, fighting Brock at Crown Jewel. We'll get to that in a little bit. And you can't have Brock win. I mean, I guess he can. He can do whatever he wants, to be honest. But
it was willing to pay him enough money. Yeah, he'll show up wherever. But we're at the point where he wants to be paid a lot of money per match. And especially if it's going to cut into his UFC training, which, who knows, he still hasn't signed anything with UFC as far as we know.
Yeah, because isn't he fighting in January?
No, he's not signed for anything, and, you know, Cormier agreed to a fight in November here coming up.
Yeah, I saw that.
And, And John Jones agreed to a fight at the end of December, so who knows where we're ending up with Rock at this point.
Huh.
Because that's right. The only two fights Rock wants. That's the only two fights Rock feels are any money for him.
Well, yeah, I haven't really been paying attention to UFC too much lately, so all mine's secondhand. Well, actually, yeah. Like all of our information is, to be honest, but...
Mine too. I don't actually watch much UFC.
Yeah. No, I just follow because of that. But yeah, so you got Braun or McIntyre is the face. I'm gonna go with Braun's the face again.
Yeah, it seems like Braun. Well, Braun got the line when we was talking from Heyman about Roman Reigns and kicking Lukumi's ass, and he'll give him his title shot as soon as he gets better. So yeah, I mean, Braun is definitely back to being a babyface. Or, you know, or a tweener. Drew to me is still a heel.
I
know Meltzer says that Drew McIntyre's future is as a babyface. I disagree completely. I saw that NXT run. He's a terrible babyface. Or he was directed to be a terrible babyface, you know, whichever it is. So I need a lot of convincing before I think of Drew as the next great babyface. But he is, he's going to get the mega push here. I mean, that's definitely it. It's very apparent.
Yeah, well, McIntyre was barely in NXT. If you think about it, what was he, 6 months? Because he won the title really fast, right?
Yeah, he beat Bobby Roode at the Takeover Brooklyn in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And then he lost it at the next Takeover to Andrade San Almas.
Yeah, because he beat Johnny Gargano, right? No, Roderick Strong. Wait, did he actually beat Roderick Strong, or? Is that when Roode interfered? No, I'm pretty sure he beat Roderick Strong.
I don't remember I think they did a title defense in between takeovers on an NXT show, but I can't be quoted on that. That's
okay. Well, anyways, yeah, but he was barely in there because then he lost to Almas and hurt his elbow, and then he shows up on Raw. So, but we talked about this a long time ago. His babyface run was. Everyone was happy to see Drew Galloway in NXT. So they're like, all right, well, we're not going to have him boo you. And it just never... like I remember that speech where he's like, we're NXT, when he was going against Bobby Roode. He's like, you know, this is we are NXT here. And it's like, okay, you say so. And then that was it. But yeah, never really seen Galloway as a face. And I don't know. We'll see. I'm all for him getting the push, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's taking the fight right to Braun Strowman. He's saying he's not afraid. He's not running. He's, you know, he's keeping up with him in all the way through the brawl through the crowd during the main event. I mean, they definitely see a lot in him, and I guess, you know, coming out of Crown Jewel, that might very well end up being the title program.
Which I don't really have a problem with, so.
Me either.
I mean, as Shahid always says, I always like when big men fight, and it's not the old days of big men fighting. This is when two big guys are just beating the hell out of each other, and it's fantastic. So,
oh yeah.
So you got that, and then let's go to the end, because I'm curious about your opinion on this. I've never seen this before. The babyface tag team who, you know, given the night, you know, when Roman leaves, the Shield comes out, does the fist, or does the Shield fist bump, whatever. They're talking backstage. Everything's good. Come out. They end up winning the match. And as they're celebrating, as they become tag team champions, Dean Ambrose turns on Seth Rollins and drills him, and then acts kind of, you know, perplexed about it. Seth is even saying, that's alright, And then he goes, don't say that to me, and beats the hell out of him for the next 5 minutes. And then, and I mean this very, in all seriousness, very dangerously walks through the crowd to leave.
That gave me CM Punk flashbacks to when they, because it didn't feel like he had a lot of security with him or anything. That, but it also, just parts of that part I really didn't like, because it kind of exposed that as much as there was booing and negative reaction to it, we're still not where, the business has still changed to the point where you really don't have to worry about and wrestlers being stabbed, heels being stabbed by fans.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a good thing, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a good thing, but also, it's a good thing, but I almost felt like, I don't know, as he was going back up through the crowd, that, I don't know, maybe people should have been at least more booing in his face, spitting on him, throwing drinks at him.
I'm with you on that, but I also think the way security is now in arenas, and especially with cameras and all that, you can't be doing that stuff anymore because you know you're getting caught. And then also, people are so self-absorbed, they don't want to do that. They want to be part of the moment, so they want to be that guy patting them on the back or yelling this or doing this. You know,
yeah.
They don't want to cause any trouble. They want to be part of the show instead of just enjoying the show. Because I'll be dead serious, man. When he got into the crowd, I'm like, are you sure about this? Because that crowd was legit not happy. And now, whether that was a I'm going to kick your ass not happy or a this night has sucked. Like, we saw an okay show with some major news and some major sad shit go on. And now my favorite team, which is a lot of people really like the Shield, now my favorite team broke up not only because one guy's sick, but because one turned on the other one. And yeah, you can say, well, we all saw it coming. Well, of course, but it still sucks, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, you could say it was sleazy. If anyone wants to call it sleazy or exploitative, yeah. welcome to professional wrestling.
See, I don't have a problem with this. I don't know if it was exploitive or not. I mean, you go, like, they clearly did the show the way they did the show, right? I mean, well, then they didn't need to have all these other guys turn in. And yeah, I know it's a little different because this is the Shield, but you've got a captive audience. Like, when is the last time Raw's mattered? Honestly.
Like, what do you mean? Like a really big show?
Yeah, like anything where you'd sit there and go, oh, wow, this happened. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely been a while.
So why not take advantage of it? And, yeah, it... Well, maybe that is the definition of exploitive then. But it just seemed like it was the right opportunity because of the circumstances. And, you know, even in Roman's thing, he says, well, the show must go on. So it wasn't like he was going to sit there and be like, oh my God, guys, you can't do this because of blah, 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 blah. You know, it's, yeah, no, keep going. And now with him leaving, you know, whether it was for whatever reasons or not, but with him leaving, they've now got a hot ass angle because Seth can just sit there and say, I can't believe this happened when our brother went down. If they want to go that route. Or just say, with everything that's going on, you have to be this selfish. Just something like that with Dean. And Dean could just turn it right back around and be like, well, you know, we could have a Becky Charlotte thing go on in this, to be honest. But I don't know. I didn't mind the timing at all. And I thought it finally brought out some emotion watching Raw, other than, is this show ever going to be over? So in that case, I'm absolutely fine with it. And I know people won't agree with that, and that's fine, but tell me the last time you had a real emotion watching Raw. From an angle. So
it's gonna be a while. It's gonna be a
I think,
no. You're right. You are right about that. If you were gonna do it, and if a heel turn was going to get that kind of an emotional reaction, that last night was the night to do it. I felt like that in a very long time watching it unfold.
Yeah, because I mean, the Shield, they repeatedly say, you know, we're a brotherhood. We're this. We're this. We're this. All right, cool. So you do buy into that stuff. I mean, that's what they said they were, you know? And, well, Dean just fucked it up at, like, the worst possible time. So there's a reason to hate him, and that crowd was booing him. So I didn't think the boos from the fans were because of what happened earlier in the night, and they were mad because this was going on. I think it was legit, like, this jerk-off, you know, which I still kind of see Dean's side of it anyways, but whatever. So, like, I'm not going to be mad at Dean Ambrose for turning on the guy who repeatedly turned on him. So, anyways, you're not supposed to remember that in wrestling anyways. So, but yeah, so luckily I'm going to Raw next week. So, this went from, can I sell these tickets, to, okay, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm now looking forward to going to this thing. So
that's good. No. It was a big heat angle. You know, the likes of which we haven't seen in a very long time. It made you feel uncomfortable. It was supposed to make you feel uncomfortable. It did all the things that a big angle like that is supposed to do, and makes you want to, you know, tune in or go to the arena next week to see what happens. No, yeah. it was excellent in that way. They definitely got something here. I mean, I guess the downside of it is Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose have wrestled each other so many times in so many different type of matches. I mean, what can you do? I mean, they've even went as far as to have a Hell in a Cell match. You know, so it's like, they've had hell, you know, ladder matches, Falls Count Anywhere, the greatest lumberjack match of all time. You know, so they've wrestled each other many times before. So it's not something new. It might take a lot to get something new out of it. But I guess this dynamic is what's new about it.
Yep. Yeah, because it'll be Dean as the heel this time. So something that, all right, outside the initial Shield run, okay, and then they eventually turned baby faces. Has Dean been a heel before? I know that sounds dumb, but I'm trying to think when he was the last, like, a legit heel outside the Shield.
He was never then.
Okay, so when he went to SmackDown, he was a face, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I thought so, but
yeah, he's been a baby face for over 4 years.
Okay.
Including when they turned the Shield baby face before the Rollins turn. Yeah.
Okay.
He's been a baby face since about WrestleMania 30.
Damn. Wow. I know we always talk about Becky Lynch being a face, but it's like, yeah, now Dean's going to be, and I can definitely see him running with this too. So I don't know. It was nice to have an eventful show. I mean, one, it started off for the wrong reason, and then to me, ended on a good reason. And trying to look at the landscape of Raw now. So we've got McIntyre, Dean, Baron Corbin. Who are the heels on Raw? Are those the only three? Lashley.
But there's rumors of him being injured now too, so who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that too.
He lost pretty quickly, so and you know, right in the middle of his big push. New heel push. Who the hell are the heels then? Ambrose.
Because Kevin Owens is gone.
Owens is gone, and he might come back as a babyface, but he'll be gone for quite a while anyway.
Yeah, double knee surgery? Oof.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Sounds like it.
Well, you gotta figure, he can't walk. I mean, yeah. With surgery nowadays, he probably can, to be honest, but still. Like, oh boy. Yeah, because Sami Zayn's gone as well. I mean, I'm not like you're looking at like a gigantic killer heel or anything with Sami, but yeah.
I guess Ziggler.
Yeah. Okay. But.
But now that the trio with McIntyre and Strowman is broken up, and him and McIntyre are no longer tag team champions, who knows how long he'll be useful to the top of the card on Raw?
Yeah, because all right, go in that direction, I guess. What is his need now? Because Ambrose and Rollins are going to be tied up together.
Yep, for the Intercontinental title.
I'm trying to think. I mean, do Ziggler and McIntyre try and regain the tag titles? As weird as that would be?
At this point, that would be silly, although we've got like 18 tournaments going on all at once. So I don't know. I don't know why they... I mean, it added to the shock factor, but they do have to figure out what they're going to do with those tag team titles. I guess it's going to go back to being a low-card title again.
Or maybe they can just give it to actual teams. You know, because the rival showed how good they were with Ziggler and McIntyre. And I don't mean the B team. This wasn't like a shot to get a joke in there. Because if I don't see them again, I'm fine. So, or that dumbass song, or their stupid B team thing. Anyway, sorry. But no, it's like how about we save the tag teams for the tag teams? Like where are
Well, that's what I meant when I said it's going to become a low card thing again.
Yeah.
I mean, you really think they're not really going to push the author? If it comes down to Authors of Pain versus Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, that's not going to be a, you know, that might be a pre-show match. So I mean, the tag titles are only important. The tag team titles have only been important on Raw when the Shield is in the mix. Well,
yeah, no. Well,
since the New Day went over to SmackDown.
Yeah.
And now the Bar's on SmackDown too. So and they, you know, so and I mean they've done nothing with the other teams on Raw. So yeah, I mean I guess the tag team titles are going to be a sacrifice here. To the Ambrose Rollins story.
Yeah. So I guess we have a little mini tournament for that, I guess. But yeah, so... But then on like the babyface side, now we've got Elias. Finn Balor, I guess. I often forget he's on that show. That's how far he's fallen. Well, Strowman. Rollins. Who are we forgetting?
Well, I don't know. Well, we pretty much stopped it. Because
so much of that show was based on Roman being the top guy, and then, or like the top babyface, and then he had his two babyface buddies as well. So, you know, like the faces were all in the same group for the most part. Or like, the top faces were all in the same group.
Yeah.
You know? And boy, they effectively got rid of one, and then the other one had to leave. So, yeah. Damn. That was a... I don't know what I can say, because you know what I mean, but that was like a bloodbath last night of creative change, I guess. So, anyways. Well, are you going to watch Evolution live, by the way? I'm not looking at anything to bag on the show. I'm just asking a question.
I'm planning on it.
Okay. I'm not.
But that could change. Okay. Well, what's more important to you, Jeremy?
Well, Walking Dead will be on. I'm one of the few dummies that still watches that show.
Oh, my God. I gave up on that halfway through last season.
And then here's the thing. It's the only reason I'm bringing this up. So last night, Elise is watching with me, and... she was fairly interested in it. Well, then they showed, and this doesn't happen. Like she goes to WrestleMania with me. You know, she travels with me. She actually does go to WrestleMania. it's not like she's watching wrestling with me. She doesn't go to any of the live events here. But if you can go travel somewhere, of course someone's going to go with you. So last night they had the four-way match with a, I'm sorry, was it four-way?
Yeah, it was a four-way.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's part of the problem. So Alicia's like, oh, I'm going to stay up and watch that. Because, you know, they had Nia Jax, Dana Brooke, Ember Moon, who she asked if she was any good. And I was like, well, she was. But you don't see her much anymore. And then Tamina. So she's like, she's tired, but she wanted to see that one. So she's actually watching for the women. Okay?
Yeah.
That match was 2 minutes long?
Yep.
With absolutely nothing going on?
Yep.
And she's sitting there, she's laying there, and she goes, is that it? I go, yep. And she goes, I thought the women's matches were better. And I went, that's a lie. Because going into Evolution, what do we have? Some nostalgia stuff. You've got the NXT match, which is going to be good, of course. You've got Trish and Lita versus someone? I don't know who they're fighting now.
It's supposed to be Alexa Bliss and Mickie James, but Alexa Bliss sounds like she has a concussion, so yeah. They might swap out Alicia Fox if they have to.
Yeah. So, and just another thrown together match, to be honest. And then you've got Charlotte and Becky, which is going to be good. And then you've got Ronda Rousey, who should destroy the Bellas in about 2 minutes. And then they went, oh my God, we have nothing else, so we're going to throw everybody in a bad battle royal.
Yeah, I mean,
and this
it's going to be a seven-match show. It's pretty obvious that with another show supposedly happening later that week, they want, and it's actually a good thing if all the shows were like this. They want to get this show over with in 3 hours or less. So seven matches, including a battle royal.
Wow. So, remember when they always talk about the women's evolution and women, such strides are being made. And this, the Mae Young Classic final. Forgot about that one, actually, because they haven't advertised that. You know what? That just occurred to me. They actually haven't said that match is going to be on the show. Did something change?
I mean, I think on the last Mae Young Classic show, they still talked about the finals being Evolution.
But in the rundown on Raw and SmackDown, it's not included in either one, I don't think.
No, and they didn't even do any kind of hype up for the semifinals episode. That's tomorrow. I mean, NXT...
Interesting.
NXT got a commercial during both Raw and SmackDown, but the Mae Young Classic did not.
Hmm. Boy.
That's very...
Okay, so anyways, the reason I'm saying all this is all this bullshit they talk about this being done, and yeah, you know what, having an all-women's tournament 2 years in a row, yeah, that's pretty big shit. I'm not gonna deny that, okay? But this entire idea that they're treating women better on the shows is just lunacy.
I mean, the Triple H-produced stuff on the network, it takes place in a separate universe.
Yes, it does. Because if you watch Raw or SmackDown, like what was that garbage on SmackDown today? There's a tag team match, and then everybody just kind of runs out there, and big cluster, and it just goes to commercial or whatever happened. Instead of, oh, hey, it's an actual match with rules, and this... It's just window dressing. They've convinced everybody that this is better because it's better. Well, we're not having pillow fights and we're not doing this. Okay, that's true. Absolutely true. Your matches are still 2 to 3 minutes long. And that includes if it's a tag team match. So, yes, we'll get the off longer match with the established people. Outside of that, nah, you ain't getting dick. And it's frustrating because, man, you watch the Mae Young Classic. Mercedes Martinez and, who the hell did she fight?
Oh, God, you're gonna make me try to remember her name, and I'm gonna feel it, and I'm gonna feel like the ugly, stupid American for not knowing it off the top of my head.
Well, the bad thing is that match was great. All action, just pounding on each other, good reversals, psychology, whatever you want to call it. Right? It was great. And then I get to watch. Who was it? Who was on Raw? Sasha Banks and Ruby Riott, which should be a great match as well, get a commercial break at the beginning, and then a bunch of interference, and a Ruby Riott wins. And it just... I mean, you're right. It's the Triple H-produced stuff. Because you got Bianca Belair and Nikki Cross having damn good matches. And Bianca Belair has been what? I'm sorry, Bianca Belair. I knew I was saying it wrong.
Yeah.
She's what? A year in the business, supposedly?
Yeah. Less on TV. Yeah. I think she was doing jobs at first, which NXT does a surprisingly good job at. Introducing people as jobbers, but then reintroducing them as, you know, in their star gimmick, and almost saying that, you know, they've learned their lessons from their period when they were losing all the time. It's a completely different universe than the main roster. I mean, the presentation of the women has actually gotten worse as we've gotten into the home stretch to Evolution. Almost as if Vince McMahon feels like he's being dragged kicking and screaming into doing this, and he's throwing a tantrum about it. Maybe Vince
I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, there's no other excuse for it. And this isn't like, I know I brought up like a match last night, okay? That's just one example. What was the match today on SmackDown?
That was a complete joke out of the 2004. I don't want to say 2004 because, you know, at least in 2004, Trish and Lita were still having good matches against each other.
Yeah,
that was out of the 2007 and later, after Trish and Lita retired, playbook.
Yeah, and my frustration is not with the women. By the way, I want to make that absolutely clear, because I think they are getting the raw deal of this. But they're being fed all that corporate mumbo jumbo, the kiss ass bullshit that they want them to say, and I'm sure some of them do believe that, because they're probably working better matches on house shows or main event, which, you know, whatever. Good, I'm glad you're working, but the big shows, it is not translating. And at least to me, it's no better than it was. And that's a goddamn shame, because of the talent that's involved.
I mean, it's really gone downhill since this year's WrestleMania felt like I guess looking back at it, a peak, when you had Charlotte and Asuka having an excellent match, Ronda Rousey's first match going so well, Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax wasn't a good match, nope. but they had weeks and weeks and weeks of TV to tell a story. You know, they got a lot of TV time to promote that, promote their match, which was a victory in its own right, even if the match wasn't anything great.
But we also knew it wasn't going to be.
Right, we knew it wasn't going to be. But it had a story, it told a story, and it accomplished its objective.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, the decision to beat Asuka was a horrible mistake, obviously.
Yes,
and then you go back to Alexa as women's champion, while Carmella is the women's champion on SmackDown. So you had this 2 or 3 month period where these two women with essentially playing the same cowardly heel act were having bad matches on pay-per-view. Even though I like both of them as personalities, but you know. The in-ring suffered during both of their title reigns.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't really recovered, you know. Well, I mean, Sunday, I mean, it's up to... It's once again, I don't know what percentage of the crowd. I assume a large percent of the crowd watches NXT and watches the Mayhem Classic, because it'll be more of a hardcore crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But there will still be that, you know, pockets of the casual viewers who only watch Raw and SmackDown, who won't give a shit about the Mayhem Classic final. They won't give a shit about the NXT Women's Championship. Although I did make the point last week with Kevin about how Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane is such an easy match for a newbie to get into.
Yeah.
You got the pretty,
she's adorable. Darling,
the adorable Kairi Sane and the bully and the bully, you know, Shayna Baszler. You just want to reach through the TV to try to protect Kairi Sane from this bully, and you'll cheer her on to fight back and win. So, I mean, I'm not worried about that match, but
no,
it will be up to Charlotte and Becky Lynch to make this show and
mm-hmm.
and have a classic. And not just a good match, not just a garden variety good match. They have to have a classic.
And that should be the last match, right?
Yeah, depending on how they feel about what they've got with Nikki Bella and Ronda Rousey, I'm sure they'll work on that match very, 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 very close.
I didn't say what do you think will be the last match. I said what should be the last match. And to me, it seems like a no-brainer. It should be Charlotte and Becky. But if Becky's winning, I don't think they want to send people home unhappy.
Oh, well, they'll be very happy.
You know? Well, oh, yeah, duh. I forgot. They want you to boo Becky. Never mind.
Yeah,
thank you for that. That was a very stupid observation.
Yeah. Sometimes last man standing matches, while the body of the matches are excellent, the finishes, because it's a 10 count on the floor, it's not that intuitive. The finishes can fall flat.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Once again, there's no real an ideal match to close the show. I mean, it's really a pick-em with the two of them. If the classic match is what you're looking for and they're able to deliver it, you know, Becky and Charlotte should probably go on last. But the Rousey-Nikki Bella match, they might go with a big angle there of some sort. They might even go with title change. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, wait, for who? You mean Charlotte winning?
No, I mean Nikki Bella winning.
Do you understand how stupid that would be? And okay, and I'm being dead serious here. I know this is a predetermined product, entertainment, whatever you want to call it. There isn't a person right now on any roster, maybe someone in NXT, that Ronda Rousey should ever lose to. Maybe Nia Jax, if they could ever get her up to snuff. But they don't know what they want her to be anyways, you can tell. But there is no one. And I know Nikki Bella's supposed to be strong. Okay, whatever. But, no. And I can't imagine that crowd. Because you even said yourself, it's going to be a bunch of diehards. It's going to be people who know the Mae Young, all this stuff, all right? Can you imagine if Nikki Bella were to win? They're going to shit all over that show. And you can't afford that with the first ever women's pay-per-view. There were air quotes there, by the way. So, I never thought it was a consideration. Maybe that's why I'm so defensive about it.
I'm in the camp that feels like they've got something with this feud. The personal nature of the promos. I mean, I felt that. I don't know why they had to wait until I mentioned this last week with Kevin. I don't know why they had to wait until after they got back from Australia to start shooting angles for this damn thing. They really should have been with this whole card. They should have been building it up for 4 to 6 weeks before they. Yeah. It's infuriating, you know, how little they put into this card. But you know, it's the one thing that has. I mean, other than Charlotte and Becky, you know, with their longer standing story, it's the one thing on the show that it feels like it is. It has any meat to it at all.
Oh yeah, I mean yes. The only two that do, because the Lita, Trish, and whoever.
If Alexa Bliss isn't in that match, it will die a death.
Well, see, that match right there had built-in history. As soon as Mickie James was part of it, my God, they should have been playing up on that the entire time, and then have Alexa, as she clearly said, she watched Trish Stratus as a girl, have Alexa Bliss be like, yeah, when I was a kid, I was always a Mickie James fan. I never liked you. Or I think that goes against what she said publicly, but it's part of the story, so you can say whatever you want. And I just thought that was a blown opportunity. So instead, they're just standing around. You're talking about stupid-ass jokes or whatever else. But, I'm just disappointed thoroughly with the build for this. And I really hate the fact, regardless of how they've built it up, I really hate the fact that this is only going to be a 3-hour show. And yes, I know we've had enough of 4 or 5 hour shows, right?
Yeah.
But if you're giving the women their own pay-per-view, and you're going to stick to this corporate line of, well, you know, the women have made so much strides, and they're so much better now, and this, and when we get our pay-per-view, oh, no, we're cutting time on you guys. But you just said that everything was better now, and the women are getting opportunities and all this, and you're getting opportunities just not equal to the regular stuff, you know. You know how that works. Something doesn't jive with me on that one. And maybe just my overall anger with this entire thing, but because in case you're a first-time listener, so I know I'm not on the wrestling shows that often, I have always been a big proponent of women's wrestling. So there is, make no mistake about this, I want this card to be awesome, and I will love eating shit on this one if it turns out to be great. I got no problem with that, because that will make me very happy. But I just don't think that they've put any effort into this. Kind of like the new advertising for Crown Jewel, which we'll go over this, and then we got to get moving. But you pointed out something to me that I hadn't even noticed, so feel free.
Yeah, I didn't notice it last night, but tonight it was very noticeable that on the graphics and in the announcers talking, they're not even mentioning a date anymore for Crown Jewel, let alone the host country or city.
Yeah, because I thought that they were at least giving, like, in 2 weeks' time or in a day's time or something like that. And the more I started thinking about it, no, none of that. Because, well, the rumor is John Cena and Daniel Bryan don't want to go. And they're actually sort of refusing to go now. Well, now, whether that's true or not, I'm not sure, because they keep advertising the both. So that'd be pretty shitty, I think, but no.
Yeah, and once again, the House of Cards. Well, it was never really a House of Cards. This is, I don't know. I even agreeing with Trump on anything, but this is the worst cover up in the history of the world. The Saudis never got their story straight for 5 seconds. Talk about somebody being kicking and screaming into doing something. Trump and the State Department very well might be, you know, drag kicking and screaming into, you know, sanctioning the Saudis and putting up some kind of a travel ban. So this show might not be allowed to take place. And Meltzer did say in Wrestling Observer Radio that things are moving in that direction more than they were. Because last week it was thought that, oh, come on, he's not going to do that. But now that there's nothing to sweep under the rug anymore, there is a chance that, you know, the outside forces will force this show to be canceled or moved or postponed or whatever the hell.
You can't postpone it. And what I mean by that is you have to have a crown jewel, right? Whether that's in Saudi Arabia or not, Do you just turn one of your house shows into Crown Jewel? I mean, you've done all of this stuff. Like, say, hey, Crown Jewel, Crown Jewel, Crown Jewel, Crown Jewel. And I know that they took the... There's no date for it now. There's no location. There's no nothing. But now, the Universal title is going to be, you know, not defended, contested. So you have to have this thing, because Survivor Series is coming up, because November is in a week.
Yeah, Survivor Series is 2 weeks later. And that's got nothing set up for it, other than maybe you could say Angle Corbin stuff, but even that hasn't really had any forward movement. Yeah, I mean, the problem is they have promised Brock Lesnar and Shawn Michaels so much money based on the Saudi deal that where do you even move it without losing a shitload of money on the show?
Yeah, well,
I guess they pretty much have to.
Yeah, so...
Because, I mean, maybe you could talk Shawn Michaels into taking a reduced fee to do it, to make his promise booking. Brock Lesnar ain't sure as shit ain't gonna do that.
If I'm Shawn, I say no anyways. Like,
I agree too.
But hey,
maybe they can get to do it. He'll be the company man. But
nope.
Yeah. No. They gotta do it somewhere, and they don't have a long time to figure out where that is. I know that they'll be going to Europe and the UK like immediately. They were supposed to be going immediately after Crown Jewel. Maybe they could move some things around there to do it. And it's a country with a kingdom, so it would make more, and Crown Jewels, so it would make some sense to do it in England. If they could get a building to do it, or once again, as I said, move some things around.
Yeah.
But they don't have to move some things around, because then you'd have to cancel other house shows and disappoint people in those markets and refund people in those markets. Yeah, no. This is a pretty big mess they're in.
And it's their own doing. So
is absolutely.
I have no sympathy at all. Especially, I was reading they're only going to make $2 to $3 million off this.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of shit to eat for $2 to $3 million. Because you have to run can you imagine having to run all those propaganda ads again during
that's
this thing?
They can't do that.
But if it's part of their deal, they have to.
That's exactly.
So
that's what they're paid for. I mean, and this is actually an add-on. This is not their original deal with the Saudis was for one show a year that would take place, I guess in April, the end of April. The Saudis asked for this show later, and WWE gave into it. So, I guess here's the thing with doing any kind of business overseas. There's no such thing as an international court that can make either side uphold their end of the deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So who's to say the Saudis don't pull out first, which would be really embarrassing for WWE.
Well, I don't think they would anyways. I mean, they have no reason to pull out. They're the ones that, you know, we didn't do anything wrong. It was just an interrogation gone wrong. And,
yeah,
you know, we accidentally cut the guy into pieces, you know.
Well, it's going to refuse to do the propaganda stuff going forward.
Yeah.
And what are they paying for? For the prince to entertain himself for 5 hours? I guess that's worth, maybe that's worth $50 million for duel.
I don't know, man. It always gets into like kind of like dicey territory when you're dealing with somebody else's culture, somebody else's country, that sort of stuff. But I didn't really know much about Saudi Arabia, to be completely honest. Other than that's where a lot of oil is, where a lot of new wealth is, that sort of stuff. And that there were also most of the, you know, the people that blew up the trade centers. Most of them were from Saudi Arabia. The fact that I shouldn't even bother. the fact that on the first one that they were talking about how women were allowed to attend the event. Well, what they seemingly forgot to say was, well, one, isn't that kind of weird? And then two, as long as they were with a man, as long as they were married, I believe they were allowed. If I remember that one right. And then also that women just got the ability to drive because, you know, we got to be progressive, so we got to, you know, let them drive finally. And it's like, what year is this? So I'm sorry, I understand, like, to them that's progressive over there, but over here, all joking aside, like, what are you doing? Like, let them drive. It doesn't make any sense. And it's very weird seeing these propaganda things about how the prince is doing this to make things better. And I'm just sitting here going, ah, fuck off. It's just enough. Anyways. So they're going to be in the UK after this is supposed to take place. That's what you said, right?
Yeah.
It does seem like that's just the best bet. I mean, come back some other time and fulfill other obligations, I guess. But I don't know. I know it's like it's business, it's not morals, right? And I know Kevin Nash is like, you know, it's entertainment, it's not a fucking UN summit or whatever he said. And I don't exactly disagree with him, but at a certain time, you're running a business, especially the wrestling business, no matter how much it's cleaned up or changed, whatever else, still has that terrible reputation. And like, this is a different kind of sleaze, I guess, you know, since we were used sleaze earlier, but whatever. We had no control over it, and, you know, to be honest, we're going to watch it. So there's no moral high ground we're taking there. They shouldn't do this show. Oh, it's on? All right, cool. I'll watch. Yeah, I'll let you know. So, I don't know, man. What, you got anything else to add on that one?
Nah, I think we're pretty good, man.
All right, good. So on that note, let's get out of here because my Death Wish 4 night's starting to catch up with me. So, thanks, everyone, for listening. This has been Stunt Granny Audio. Myself and Shahid do We Watch Stuff, which is back. We're recording tomorrow. We're going to talk about a bunch of different things. I don't even know if we're going to get through it all. So, Shahid saw Halloween. I'm sure we'll talk about that. I finished Daredevil. I don't know if he did. A bunch of other stuff we're going to talk about. So catch that late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. And, thanks for listening, guys.
All right, later.
That's it. Damn, that was quick.